Hey guys, Salaam alaikum rahmatullah. I wanted to come on here and talk to you about istighfar. What istighfar means is seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, and it comes in many different forms. So we could be saying astaghfirullah or astaghfirullah al-azim, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. Another one is astaghfirullah al-azim alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayy al-qayyum wa atubu ilayh. And of course, there's Sayyid al-Istighfar, which comes in the morning and evening adhkar. These are du'as that we say for protection in the morning and the evening every day. One of them is called the Sayyid of Istighfar. It's like the top form of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. And the way the form sounds or the phrasing is, Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa ant. خلقتني وأنا عبدك وأنا على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعت أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت أبوء لك بنعمتك علي وأبوء بذنبي فاغفر لي فإنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. And all of these different forms have beautiful differences. Obviously, the difference in length, which will impact how much you can say in a day. And you'll find, I think, advice on both sides. You know, people who advocate for quality, saying it from your heart. Focusing as you seek istighfar, as you ask Allah to forgive you, and also for you to kind of rehash and think back on things that you did that you're not proud of, things that were, you know, sinful, less than ideal, things that you would frown upon now. As you remember those things and you ask Allah to forgive you at the same time, it brings about the sincerity because you're genuinely and specifically thinking of something that you did, and you're asking Allah to forgive you for it. You think, you know, I was talking about that person while they weren't around, and that wasn't a good look, and I really want Allah to forgive me. Or, you know, I wasn't paying attention, or I was, you know, spending my time in a way, or I was ungrateful, or I took something for granted. And to think about that as you go, and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you for it. Now, the rewards of istighfar are many. And the stories of people who talk about what happened to them as they persisted with istighfar and it became like an addiction and a habit, to always occupy their tongue with istighfar in, you know, between speaking, while they're busy with their hands, any chance they can get. And istighfar is mentioned in the Quran to have its benefits. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in different parts of the Quran. For example, in one ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He would not punish them while they do istighfar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not punish someone who seeks His forgiveness. So for a person who's facing a difficulty, who is struggling, who has pain, who has a worry, who has something that is causing them harm and worry and difficulty in their life, seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness is a door to lift that, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't punish you. And Allah azza wa jalla's promises are true and His words are true. So we use that as a reference to kind of help us navigate. You know, you're using istighfar and all dhikr, mentioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, using, you know, what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us and what Allah azza wa jal tells us in the Quran. We're able to use it like medicine. If you have this issue, you use that. When this happens, you turn to that. And so for istighfar, another one is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this in the surah of Nuh alayhi salam. Allah azza wa jal talks about how when you seek istighfar, Allah azza wa jal will send down rain, and He'll give you wealth, and He'll give you like children and generations, and He'll give you jannat, and He'll give you anhar, which means gardens and rivers. And Allah Azza wa Jal will bless you and open doors for you. Ibn Taymiyyah, I believe, was speaking about how when he had something challenging him or he faced a difficulty, he would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness close to 1,000 times until whatever it was would ease up or become clear, or he would find the answer to what he was looking for. So the habit of asking Allah's forgiveness and it being this like living, breathing interaction with Allah throughout her day and throughout her week, where, you know, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ would say that if my animal, like their horse or their riding animal would trip, they would know that it was because they would do istighfar after that. So they had this direct association between what happened in their life and their accumulation of sin or asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them. And we know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would seek istighfar from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, 70 to 100 times in any given day. Even if sins are forgiven, even though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is guided in his actions, but he also istighfar. Had mentioned the story of a young man who said that he had committed to doing istighfar in the tens of thousands every day. And because of this, he found that he didn't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something except that it was given to him. He became mustajab al-da'wah, like he's a person who, when he makes a dua, Allah answers him, gives him. And this practice of istighfar opened up that door for him. If you, you know, think about this from the perspective of, we have lists of things that we need. We have worries, we have concerns, we have things we hope for, we have things we want to get away from and we need protection from, we have things we want for our loved ones and for our children and for our parents and for our futures and on and on and on, material, emotional, spiritual, relational. We aspire to certain things and we wish, you know, we use the question in mentoring work, if we could wave a magic wand, if we could make things just happen, you know. But we are within the confines of our own ability. We're limited. There are things that for us are impossible. There are things that for us, the means just aren't feasible. And so we even kind of limit our dreaming to what we can accomplish, to what's realistic. And this is something that we don't have to do when it comes to dua and istighfar and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we know that Allah can actually give us what people will literally tell us, that can't happen. That is a bit much. You can't have that. There's a lot of things you can ask for, but that is an unrealistic thing to ask for. And what do you have to lose by placing something with Allah and asking Him to make it happen in His way, which is the best way, and in His time, which is the best time, and to give us that sense of contentment and trust and patience while we wait for it to happen, if that's what's good for us. And istighfar has a way of making you have that trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because as you start to see things change in your life, and we're talking about this on Substack in one of the in the chats and the threads where people are sharing their experience with istighfar. So as they picked up the practice of saying their istighfar throughout their days, what changes have they noticed? Like what things have opened up for them, what, you know, and one sister mentioned that, you know, she always gets a great parking spot. You know, another sister was talking about how there was just ease. People talking about their du'as coming true and in a very short period of time, you know, extraordinary. When people have taken on their istighfar and sending salawat on the Prophet ﷺ on a Thursday night, for example, like after Thursday, after Maghrib, until Friday, after Maghrib. So it's 24 hours where they're really doubling down. And we're told to say our salawat on the Prophet ﷺ extra on Fridays, right? So Friday begins from Thursday after Maghrib until Maghrib on Friday, the day itself. And so they would be doing their salawat and their istighfar throughout the day. And by the Friday night, they see or feel a change. You know, so for people, things have been instant, things have been immediate. You know, family members in a health crisis, and the person starts with their istighfar, starts making dua, starts, you know, sending salawat on the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, praying, you know, witr or one rak'ah or two rak'ahs of qiyam, and trying to reach out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. And Allah Azza wa Jal sometimes can answer a person immediately. Immediately, a change will happen in the health of their family member. An improvement will happen. A possibility that doctors or, you know, people who are advising them told them was just not on the table will happen for them. Allah, when He wants to give you, He gives you. And when Allah gives us, He gives us more than we could have ever imagined and in the best possible way. So this miracle of istighfar is something that, you know, we're sleeping on. I was telling a friend of mine, you are missing out on something extraordinary. Like we talk about, okay, I want to change this, I want to change that. I would love to improve this, you know, my work, my studies, my, you know, something to do with my children, my living situation, where I moving abroad, blah, 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 all these plans. And we're trying to figure out the how. And yet we have this tool, we have this, you know, and I use the word magical because it's extraordinary. It's outside of the natural and the normal. It moves beyond our, you know, dynamics of the world as we know it. It goes above, it can override the normal laws of interaction and laws of how things go and how things work. It's a hack, it's a cheat code. And so why are we sleeping on istighfar? We need to apply ourselves with it. Part of the morning and evening adhkar is to say astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh 100 times in the morning and 100 times in the evening. So if you can add to that, if you can add on top of that, and a very important and helpful tool is to have a counter. The little, it's this little thing with digits on it and numbers, and you press the button and it counts as you click. I think it's also used in like knitting and crochet to count your stitches or something like that. And you can just get them, you know, online anywhere. You can find them, and they kind of, you can wear it on your finger like a ring, and you keep clicking it with your thumb. Click it, click it, click it, click it as you do your istighfar. I was listening to a clip, and a man was saying that one of his, the advice that he found helpful that he wanted to pass on to others was to just keep the ring on. So if you have like sibha, like the beads that we use to do dhikr on, and he said, I used to put it in my pocket, and I thought when I get a little bit of free time, I'll pull it out and I'll do like my tasbih and my istighfar. But he said, I would go through the whole day and I wouldn't get the chance to do it. So I wouldn't remember to do it. But he said, when you have the little ring thing on your finger, the little counter in your hand, it's right next to your thumb. It's actually like a physical reminder to do a little bit of istighfar. And you can do it while you're doing all sorts of things, you know, listening, driving, walking, talking, waiting, commuting. It can just be there on your finger and you're just racking up your istighfar. And by the end of the day, you'll have a number. You'll have a number. It's not like when you sit down and you're trying to do the 100, you're aiming for the 100. But in this instance, you go through it, and by the end of it, you may have done way more than you imagined even possible. And Allah can put barakah in it, and He can open up doors and make you able to do even more than that. And you ask Him to. But then you start to see the benefits, and you start to see the barakah, and you start to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bringing you, you know, just abundance, material and, you know, relational and spiritual, and blessing in your time and blessing in your health and just goodness, goodness. And you, I really think about it and I feel like, my goodness, what were we doing? How were we not capitalizing on this? How are we not paying attention to this? You know, we're told do istighfar, mention Allah. If you mention Allah, Allah mentions you. We know, but practically, it's not being given the weight that it deserves. It's not being encouraged enough. It's not being encouraged enough. Stop sleeping on dhikr. Stop sleeping on your istighfar. Anyone can do this. Anyone can do this. It doesn't require, it's not like reading Quran with tajweed and it's a long journey and a process for you to get to a better place. Saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, subhanallah wa bihamdih, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid, Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. We do it in our prayers. We can do it outside of our prayers. Whenever we have a few moments and our mouth is free, put dhikr in it. When your mouth is free, fill it up with dhikr. It has so many benefits, tangible, intangible, things we know, things we don't know. This is my final point. One of the questions that comes up a lot is, I've been doing, you know, X act of worship for X amount of time, and I'm not really seeing anything crazy, amazing happening. Like, I've been reading Surah Al-Baqarah, I've been doing istighfar in, you know, 10,000 a day, and I don't see the thing that I wanted coming true, or, you know, why isn't this working question. And, you know, an important point, because we don't know. There's so much that we don't know and we don't see. When someone gives charity or does istighfar or any act of worship and comes closer to Allah, Allah Azza wa Jal rewards you. There's no question about it. Whether it's in the way that we want, by our dua being answered, for example, or receiving a certain blessing, we don't know how it's going to come, but we know that it's coming. There are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting you from. There are things that Allah Azza wa Jal has wiped out of your decree because of these acts that you're doing, because of a dua that you're making or that your parents are making or have made for you. And that protection is there, but you just can't see it because it was a harm that never came. It was damage that you were spared from. So to you, it looks like I haven't gained any positives, but maybe you were protected from a negative. So keep up the good work. Don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. And again, as always, don't get overwhelmed with the numbers. Don't put excessive pressure on yourself. We're building the habit. We're trying to fill our silences with dhikr. We're trying to fill our moments of quiet with connecting to Allah and raising our status and forgiving our sins and raising our ranks. A thing that will help, and I know I said that was the last thing, a thing that will help is reading about the benefits of dhikr. So in the Dua and Adhkar, Dua and Dhikr app by A Life with Allah, they have different hadith, like hadith sayings of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where they talk about the benefits of certain acts. So they say, like, when you say Subhanallah 100 times, this is the reward. When you say Alhamdulillah 100 times, this is the reward. When you say Subhanallah bihamdi 100 times, this is the reward. And having those specific rewards present in the forefront of your mind encourages you to do more. It makes it not just this thing you're doing because you're trying it out to see what happens, but you're aware that this will earn me this and this will earn me that. And it makes you want to do more. It makes you want to earn more. We've been distracted all of our lives. We're on borrowed time. So the goal now is for us to do the most, to do the most, and for us to have the intention. We set the intention with Allah that I'm going to apply myself when it comes to dhikr. I want to be closer to you. I want to be someone who you're pleased with. I want to be someone who, when I call out, you recognize me and the angels recognize me as a familiar voice, and you mention me when I mention you, and then I'm someone whose du'as are answered, and I'm someone who is in a good place, in a place of khair. Living with the dhikr and mention of Allah puts you in a different headspace completely. And I'll share something with you guys about me personally. There was a period of time where I was terrified, terrified. If I drop dead right now, if I were to die right now, what would my condition be? Like, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I'm not where I want to be. And mentioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and dhikr and trying my best and making this my, like putting it right in front of my eyes, has made me feel like, you know what? If I'm climbing towards Allah, even if I'm at the bottom of the mountain, if I'm close to the ground, but I'm in the process of climbing, it's not so bad. It wouldn't be so bad if I were to go out in a state where I'm trying to approach Allah and He sees me coming towards Him. I'm not distracted. I'm not in a place where I'm, you know, terrified because I know I'm not where I'm supposed to be. And I'm so grateful to God for Him bringing me to this. And if it weren't for difficulty, I don't know that I would have been here. So Alhamdulillah, and I pray that Allah lifts all of your difficulties and pays off all of your debts and removes all of your worries and eases all of your concerns and brings all of your goals and aspirations and hopes to reality and opens the doors for you to come like ever closer to Him and makes you one of His people. And when He guides you to do one thing, for it to open the door to another thing and for you to just climb and climb and climb. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. That's all for today. Come on Substack and let me know how you're doing. Let me know your stories with Surah Al-Baqarah, your stories with Istighfar, your stories with Dhikr. How are things getting on? If you don't want to talk about the specifics of your own experience, that's fine. Even stories of other people you know who are struggling and in difficulty and Allah opened and the door and made a way for them. Because when other people read your stories, it encourages them that that's possible for them too. And it encourages them to take up this practice of mentioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and maybe Allah will reward you for this person doing all of this dhikr. Maybe you will move on to do something else and become focused on something else, and Allah will reward you for everything this person does because you shared a beneficial story or something motivational or something encouraging, and it will carry on with them and they'll be the ones to carry it forward long after you've stopped. Jazakumullah khair for listening, guys, and I look forward to sharing more. Yalla, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.